Let us turn to the second book of Kings, chapter 1. And we read from verse 1 of the first chapter. Then Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and was sick. And he sent messengers and said unto them, Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them, Is it not because there is not a god in Israel that he go to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone out, but shalt surely die. And Israel departed. And when the messenger turned back unto him, he said unto them, Why are ye turned back? And they said unto him, There came a man up to meet us, and said unto us, Go return unto the king that sent you. And said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Is it not because there is not a god in Israel that thou sentest to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from that bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And he said unto them, What manner of man was he which came up to meet you and told you these things? And they answered him, He was an hairy man and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, It is Elijah the Tishbite. Then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went down to meet him. And behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again also he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus saith the king, Come down. And Elijah answered and said unto them, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed them, and so on. Now chapter 2, please, of the same book, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were with Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it, hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it, hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on, and so on. Down at verse 10. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing, nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. Verse 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they departed hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. They came to meet him, bowed themselves to the ground before him. The Lord will bless your heart. Our meditation on this further portion of his word. If I were to give a caption to what I have to say today, I would call it the test, the tour, and the translation of Elijah. And we follow Elijah and Elisha on this tour until they come to the translation. But first of all, the test. Then the tour. And then the translation of Elijah. Elijah was a man of challenge. He was a man of fire and water. And he could challenge the enemy bravely and boldly. And his brilliant life of testimony was seen in his exodus when he was taken up to heaven in the chariots of fire. But first of all, the test of Elijah, the man of God. We read how the king fell down through the ladders and injured himself. And then he sent his servants to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, and said, "Shall I recover of this disease?" The Lord said to this bold and brilliant man, "Go down and intercept those messengers and say, thou shalt not come up from the bed. Is there not a god in Israel that thou goest to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Thou shalt not come up." So when they returned to the king said to them, "Who is this man that had the audacity to challenge my authority and refuse you the request?" He says, "You go down, you 50 men, and you challenge him, and find him, and you challenge him." Here was Elijah, the man of God's testimony, the God of truth. And Ahaziah, the man representing the standards of the world and the world's order. So he sent down 50 men with a cap. And as they came, they saw Elijah, this illustrious man of God, sitting on top of a hill. And they said, "The king has said, come down." Elijah looked at them. He was a man who was used to standing in the presence of God, and he was not afraid of standing in the presence of men or the king. He said, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down." The fire came down and devoured them. And then the king said a second contingency, and the same thing happened to them. "If I be a man of God, let fire come down." The third lot of time they sent, and they begged him to come down. Elijah represented God's truth and God's testimony. And he was challenged by the world's authority, by the world's standards and so on. And they said, "The king has said, come down." He said, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down, but I'm not coming down." You see, Elijah represented the truth of God, the testimony of God. And the clarion call came to Elijah to come down, to lower the standards, to come down to this world's level. And he said, "If I be a man of God, let fire come down." And you know, dear brethren and sisters, as we travel around this world, we find it is a sad coming down, as far as moral standards are concerned, as far as spiritual levels are concerned. And I challenge my heart today, as I challenge your heart. Has there been deterioration in your life and testimony? Has there been a lowering of divine standards as far as you're concerned, individually and collectively? I challenge my heart as I challenge your heart. Have I come down? Or have I preserved the standards of divine testimony as revealed to me in the Word of God? As we travel around, we see very sad instances of what I call has-beens, once worse, that have come down and lowered the standard to the loss of their testimony and to the dishonor of God. If I be a man of God, let fire come down. My dear brother, my dear sister, and I speak to you as young men and young women more particularly, in these days of permissive society, and this lowering of moral standards, when you are challenged by temptation and by sin, I ask you, do you come down? We might call this as well the trial and triumph of Elijah. He didn't come down. And when you are challenged by these things as far as your personal life is concerned, do you lower the standard? Do you compromise? And say, "Everybody does it, so what was wrong? I just share with what goes on all around me." My dear brother, my dear sister, say like the prophet Elijah, "If I be a Christian, if I be a man of God, if I be a believer, how can I come down?" And so the word of God challenges your heart and mind not to lower the standard of divine order, of divine testimony, as far as your life is concerned. Many a young man, as our brother Peter Brandon has told us, and I corroborate what he has said, in our experience of moving around among God's people, we see some very tragic cases. We see young men and we see young women that were promising in their career, and we thought they'd go very far. But after a while, something happens, tragedy strikes, and they come down. And when they come down, they're powerless. they've lost their test before God. And it's enough to make you weep to see the loss of test, the loss of potential, as far as young women and men are concerned. In these days of lowering of divine standard, the Lord help you and I to maintain the principles and the teaching and the doctrine the Lord has given to us. As Paul wrote to Timothy, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. My dear brother, my dear sister, never lower the standard. We see that happening on every hand. And the excuse, as I say, everybody does it. But if you're a Christian, if you're a man of God, you should maintain that which the Lord has revealed in His Word as far as our moral standards and spiritual principles are concerned. I could tell you instances, but I'll tell you one. A young lady was courting a young man in South Africa, and I knew her very well. And I knew her father, he was a farmer. And I think he would engage. And after a while, I said to him, calling my name, I said, Angus, how's Patricia getting on? I thought the marriage would be the next thing. Oh, he says she's called it all off. I said, what happened? I thought Patricia was going through with this young fella. I thought it was all okay. He said, Mr. Dudley, my girl is a young woman of honor. And that young fella tried to do things which was contrary to matrimonial law. And she said, I dropped him. Why, he appealed to her to lower the standards. And the young girl, being a woman of character and conscience and conviction, she said, I'd rather part with you than lower my standards of chastity and morality. Young man, young woman, when the clarion call comes to you, come down. Do you come down? We have had instances, of course, in the scriptures for those who have come down. You take, for instance, David. I love David. I'm a lover of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel. But oh, the tragedy of that besmirching of his garment by sin. He came down. And notwithstanding him being a man after God's own heart, he came down. Came down from the rooftop. Down into an act of immorality. You take a man like Samson. Our brothers already referred to him. And in the book of Judges, you read at least three times over, Samson went down, Samson went down, Samson went down, till he died, making fun for the Philistine. Once a man whose birth was prophesied by God, a great man, to Manoah and his wife, he went down and he went down and he went down, till he made spot for the Philistine. He went down, as a brother rightly said, he ended up on the lap of an adulteress, of a wicked one. You take Demas. I always, when I read this about Paul and Demas, I think Paul penned these words with tears in his eye when he wrote to say, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this prison world. And you read about Demas, how he served God and the sight of the great apostle. Now Paul writes to Timothy, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved the prison world. He went down from that position of elevation in the service of God. Demas hath forsaken me. And then the others, you take others in the scriptures, like Judas. You take Jonah. All these men, he went down. You read about Jonah, he found a ship and he went down to Joppa. My dear brother, my dear sister, when the clarion call comes to you to come down, the Lord give you grace to maintain your standards. By the help of God, I will not come down. And be like this great joint of the prophet, Elijah, that maintained his testimony. Of course, on the other hand, there were great men that never came down. We thank God for them. Elijah was a man that never came down. Five year man of God, let fire come down, but not me. And then you got a man like Nehemiah, when he was tempted to come down to discuss arrangements about the building of the wall. Those three subtle men, they tried to get him into a company to harm him. He said, I'm doing a great work, I can't come down. You want me to come down to discuss things on the level of the world? I'm doing a great work, I can't come down. And he succeeded in his task in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. You take Joseph. What a sad case it was with Joseph, a temptation that very few young men would escape. How that wicked temper tempted him. Day in and day out. until she got almost, you can say, to a point where she was fierce in her lustfulness, and she grabbed him. And she grabbed him, and you know the story is he lost his coat, but he kept his character. He didn't come down. He said, how can I commit this great wickedness and sin against God? He was a man of character, a man of conviction and so on. Then there was the Apostle Paul in Galatia. He said, we will not submit, not for 1 hour. And he called those false preachers of the gospel. He said, let them be anathema. If any man preached not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed. But I'm not coming down to their level. And word to God, as our brother was saying about the gospels that are preached in the world today, that we wash our hands off them and preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. Then you take a man like other men in the ships as we leave them, Samson of course, but you take the Lord Jesus Christ, our beautiful example. Did he come down? Think of him hanging on the cross. The Roman gibbet, mocked and jeered by all his sundry. They said, if we are the Christ of God, the Son of God, come down. And thank God he never came down. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ did not succumb to their temptation. The Lord maintained his position, notwithstanding the suffering and the reproach and the shame. And he died until the appointed time that God had arranged to finish his course on earth. He didn't come down, thank God for that. Have you come down? Much more could be said, but I leave that because of time. The test, the tour, and then the translation. The Lord give us grace to take our stand, and by the help of God to keep our stand for the glory of God and the honor of his name and the preservation of our own life and testimony for him. As I've said before, we have seen some very sad cases of men and women that have been brilliant testimonies of the Lord, but something has happened. And in some cases we can't even find out what has happened. But we know their testimony has faded, and we can only deduce that something has happened in their private life, which has never been confessed, because they've come down and now ashamed to confess it. The Lord preserve us from any degradation or deterioration. One more thing before I go on to the next subheading. There may not be any degradation, but the question I ask my heart, and I challenge my heart, is, since I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, has there been deterioration? There's that Galatia. They said, where is the blessed? Paul said, where is the blessedness in you? And the hymn writers penned the words, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul refreshing view of Jesus in his word? When I first trusted Christ, I prayed 3 times a day. Well, I prayed 7 times a day, as David did. How many times a day do you pray now? Has there been spiritual deterioration in my life? I used to spend hours reading the word of God, but now, I believe and I agree with our dear brother, we must watch this deterioration in our lives, and must watch it continually. There was a big businessman in Cape Town, he was head of a big business, but he was a man of God and a very spiritual man of God, and whenever he got him in the assembly to minister, he ministered rich, edifying ministry. And they couldn't understand how this man in this high position of control in this business found the time to dig into the word of God and give such beautiful ministry. So they said to him one day, calling by his name, he said, how do you find time, dear brother, to study the word of God and to pray and give us this rich ministry? He says, let me tell you, I never find it. I've got to make it. I've got to set aside times in my life when I'm devoted to ministry, to prayer and the ministry of the word of God. I ask you, as I ask my heart this afternoon, my dear brother and my dear sister, is there deterioration in your life as far as your prayer life is concerned? As far as the reading of the scriptures are concerned? You see, I used to sit like Mary at the Lord's feet and heard his word, but what are you now? Or do you still do it? I know we're living in a world of hustle and bustle, and life is becoming a rat race, and businessmen and Christians find their lives are crowded in with so many occupations and everything. Be careful that the devil doesn't get in your back and ride you to death with engagements. Be careful that the enemy doesn't get on your back and ride you to death with intention. Excuse me for personal reference. My wife's not here, so I can say this thing without being corrected. You know, my wife is my good critic. And when I get home, and then I got to go through the session. You know what you said was okay, but that you shouldn't have said. You know what you... That you shouldn't have said. They were better and left unsaid. So we thank God for wives that are good critics. I don't know about Brother Peter gets off. I think his wife is very kind. He never gets criticized. Anyhow, my wife put me through the patient. I thank God for it. But with my wife, we've got a certain arrangement. And she knows my modus operandi, she knows my manners, she knows my ways. After all, after 50 years, you're her. They say if you want to know anything about a man, ask his wife. And if she's a good wife, she won't tell you. So you try to ask her my wife, and she won't tell you. But every afternoon, I humbly say to her, thank God, I realize after being in business for 40 years, unless you make time for these things, you're going to be crowded out. Telephone calls and other calls. And the devil will teach you, you won't get down to prayer or reading the scripture. So I set aside certain times of the day. My wife knows what those times are. And she says, even have Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth come to visit, my husband is not available. He's engaged. And my wife religiously keeps to that order. As I say, even if Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth came, he said, please, my husband is not available. You'll have to come back after a certain time. And I do believe, dear brother and sister, if we don't do these things specifically, you'll never accomplish them. Pray God there may be no degradation, no lowering of the standards, no deterioration. If you pray three times a day before, God help you to pray five times. And keep up your spiritual interest after all these things. The Lord bless you, the Lord help you. I know it's very difficult, but with determination you come. The test, the tour. The Lord said to Elisha from Gilgal, he said, now I want you to go down to Bethel, and then I want you to go down from Gilgal to Bethel, and then you must go down to Jericho, and then you go down to Jordan. And Elisha, this young man who was serving his apprenticeship with Elisha's life of ministry is one of the longest of the prophets in the Old Testament. He served as a prophet through three or four kingdoms, about 60 odd years. But for the first 10 years of his life, he served as an apprentice to Elisha, this great man of God, and he was a good learner. He was a good disciple. See, a disciple is one who learns to follow and follows to learn. And God says to these great joy of the prophets, go down from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho and Jordan. And then Elisha says, the Lord sent me here. And Elisha turns to him and says, as the Lord thy God liveth, and my soul liveth, I won't leave you. And the next he says, God has sent me down to Jericho. And again he says, as the Lord thy God liveth, I will not leave thee. And he follows right through till he comes to Jordan. On the tour. And when they come to Jordan, Elijah says to this young apprentice, this young leader, ask what I shall do for thee. And he makes an extraordinary request. He says, grant that a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So Elijah says, well, you've asked an extraordinary thing, a hard thing. But if you see me when I go, it shall be so. But if not, it shall not be so. And so Elijah follows Elijah all the way through as a true disciple. And when he comes to Jordan, he gets a blessing. As a reward of his true discipleship following through, as Paul mentioned it in Ephesians 3, that I might know him as Bethel. And the power of his resurrection as Jordan. And the fellowship of his sufferings that give all. Be made conformable unto his death that you go. And here we see the lifestyle of Elisha, the true disciple, and he got the blessing. Our brother mentioned today, and rightly so, of the lack of blessing amongst God's people. Why is it? We've got all the trimmings and the trappings of evangelism. Where is the power of the Lord God Elijah? Is the challenging question of Elisha. He's seen the power of the Lord God Elijah in his mentor. Now he says, where is the power of the Lord God of Elijah? I want to see it. And I would say to us today, here in Australia, Where is the power of the Lord God of Elijah? Where is it? Has God changed? Has God's promise altered? Has God not true to His word? He said in Acts 1, "He shall receive power, he shall be mantled with power when the Spirit of God is come upon you. And he shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and all the ends of the earth." And if the Lord has granted us that blessing, where is the power? I challenge my heart over and over again. And we repeat before the Lord that it's not by might nor by power, but by Spirit, said the Lord. We said, "Lord, give us power in the proclamation of the word of God to the gathering of the elect and to the edification of his people." But we have to lay before God and we say, "Where is the Lord? Power of the Lord God of Elijah? We've got all the trimming and the trapping, but where is the power? Has God changed? Is God no longer faithful?" I came home after a period out preaching and so on. And when I come home, my wife's expecting me at a certain time. I usually can smell what's for supper. I can smell what's cooking for supper. When I come to the front door, I can smell it. Oh, it's a roast tonight, or it's a curry tonight, or it's a stew. I can smell it. But I came home one night, and there was no smells. I thought my wife might have gone on strike. Join the trade union of housewives. Be careful, they might do that one of these days. I hear the housewives in Australia want to join the trade union and boycott their husband. Oh, poor husband, he's had a hard time, I did it. Anyhow, otherwise, you're on a strike, what's happened? So I came to the kitchen, I said, I greeted her, I said, "Maria, what's cooking?" She said, "Nothing." I said, "What's the matter?" She says, "We've got no power." There is all the chrome. There is all the enamel. All the doodads and the gimmicks and all the gadgets is no power. So I said, "Make a fire in the backyard and have a barbecue or something. Look, dear brothers and sisters, we've got all the trimmings, we've got all the trappings, we've got all the gimmicks, but we haven't got the power." I challenge my own heart that I challenge you. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? God has promised. The Lord help us to obey it. I believe if, like Elisha, we are dedicated to the Lord and to his mentor, and we follow him fully, like Caleb and Joshua, of whom it is said five times over, they followed the Lord fully. They followed the Lord fully. And you find the lives of these men are attended by the power of God. I do believe the restoration, or the secret of restoration to the power of God, is discipleship to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ in dedication and devotion as it ought to be. And I see we see the restoration of the power of God among us. But you see, we are so lukewarm. We're so half-hearted about King. And the brother said to me the other day in Melbourne, he says, "You know, Brother Dudley, all we're doing here in the city, we're just playing church. Well, he says to me, "I'm not an Australian." He says, "We're playing church." He says, "What are you doing?" We've got the Word of God in our hands. We've got the power of the Spirit of God at our disposal. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? I do believe, and I challenge your heart as I challenge mine. If you and I would be devoted and dedicated as true disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him fully, then we shall know the blessing and the power of God in the assembly. Traveling through your country, as I have in 4 or 5 times, I'm very impressed with the beauty of Australia. I've traveled crisscross, but I see sad deficiencies. Great country as far as natural resources are concerned, one of the finest in the world, blessed with the bounty of God, but lacking. And you know the need of Australia, as we listen to the news media of Canberra, they speak about our needs socially, our needs politically, our needs financially, our needs educationally. Well, that's all that jargon, it's all right, but let me challenge you. And I say it kindly because I love Australia. I wouldn't come here 4 or 5 times if it wasn't there. Australia needs the blessing of the power of God in the spiritual sense. And that will be the panacea. That will be the answer to all your ills. Not financial. Not economic. Not material. Not social. But educational. If God would bring a mighty revival as he's done in Australia in the past, it will be the answer to all of Australia's needs. as to getting back to God and answering, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And do you realize, sisters, now, there were brethren who came from Australia to South Africa. Did you know that? You sent preachers to South Africa. And they were mightily used of God in Africa. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where are these great men that were used of God in Australia? I could name them. I listened to their ministry in Africa as a young man. And I was amazed at the blessing and the power of God that was manifested in their ministry. And I would challenge your heart and mind today. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Has God changed? Has God ceased to be faithful? The power of God is there if you and I follow fully in devotion and dedication before the Lord without any deterioration or degradation. I leave that. If you see me when I go, it shall be so, but if not, it shall not be so. In other words, if you keep your eye upon me, if you follow me fully, you'll get the blessing. And the secret of blessing and power of God is to be occupied not with ourselves, not with others, but with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Our brother, Dr. Vicky, will excuse me using a statement he made to me the other night. You see, when people say things to me, I put it in the stomach, and afterwards I chew the cut, like a cow. I bring it up, and Brother Vicky says to me, he says, you know, what we need as Christians is not self-contemplation. It's not brethren contemplation. It's Christ contemplation. And blessing will ensue. I said, amen, dear brother. That's very, very well put. And that's what we need. We need to be occupied. If you see me when I go, it shall be so, if not. And then we have this miracle, and the chariots of fire and the horses of fire come, and they sweep away Elijah to heaven. And as the chariot leaves the earth and soars its way through the cloud, Elijah, the young man, he says, my father, my father. The chariots of God and the horsemen thereof. In other words, I've served you as a father, as an apprentice. I've followed you fully. And then there says the mantle of Elijah falls down. And I make, especially the linen garment and so also fell down. So Elijah takes off his clothes and he puts on the mantle. And he takes the sword and he goes back to Jericho. Elijah's gone here. And he goes to Jordan and he says, now have I got the power of God? I followed the Lord fully. I followed through fully. I've done my duty. 10 long years I serve. Take the mantle. And he strikes the water. He says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the waters divide. And the young men, the prophets, 50 of them, see that. And they say, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah. Look, he's got the power of God. And young man, young woman, that's available to you and I today. I don't believe, as some brethren say, we're living in the Laodicean period and you can't expect blessing. I don't believe that. Our brother Jim Allen has just passed through southern Africa and I got a report that there's a great blessing there. Our brother Hal Paisley passed through a great blessing there. And I believe the Lord can do that for us right now. There must be the dedication. There must be the devotion. The following of the Lord fully. So he got the blessing. And he found that in his experience. But now the translation. And with this I must start. Elijah's translation to heaven was symbolic of his brilliant life and testimony. And your life and mine in our exodus from this world will be symbolic by the way we've lived. As Peter said, for so an abundant entrance shall be ministered unto you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus, if you do these things and you don't fail. You know, I think somebody who thinks we can live as we like and do as we like and go as we like and say what we like, a kind of a freelance association, and when it comes to glory, we want the best places in heaven. It's not going to work. Spurgeon tells about a noble lady that had a dream. And she dreamt she went to heaven and she met Peter, and Apostle Peter showed her around. And they showed this lady a beautiful mansion. So she thought, well, I'm her ladyship. He said, whose mansion does this belong to? Oh, Peter said, that belongs to your coachman, your driver, your chauffeur. Then they worked further up the highways and the street of gold. They came to the cottage, the humble cottage. She said, whose is this? She said, yours. But you got it wrong, Peter. The mansion's mine and the cottage is... No, we don't make those mistakes here. Well, how come? He says, Madam, we only build in heaven with materials that you sent out, and that's all you sent out. You only sent up sufficient material to build that humble cottage. And your coachman sent material to build that beautiful mansion. And dear brethren and sisters, your position and place in heaven will be determined by your life of discipleship upon here upon earth. Don't expect to find a mansion up there when you've only shed a few bricks to make a humble cottage. Got to see. And so I do believe, dear brethren and sisters, we need to be devoted and dedicated to the Lord. I was reading some while ago about this young man, D.L. Moody. A young man that was so mightily used of God, as you read the record of D.L. Moody's life and the mighty evangelical movement in America and in Britain. If you read the life of D.L. Moody, you can see he took the, by his two hands, he took the continent of Europe and Britain, he took the continent of America and he drew them to God in a massive revival. And we must acknowledge that it was a great work of God done. But that young man served in a shoe shop. And there were two gentlemen in the shoe shop who were discussing the need of evangelism and the preaching of the gospel in America and what God will do. And these two Christian gentlemen in the conversation, they said, God will yet show America what he'll do with a young man who is totally dedicated and devoted to God. Dwight heard it. He said, what do they say? God will reveal to America and to the world what he'll do with a young man who is devoted to God. D.L. Moody went back to back from him. He said, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. By the help of God, I'll be that man. And he totally devoted his life and his time to the Lord and his service. We know the result in the church's history. The mighty revival. Our brother was talking about revival. There it is. My dear young man, I challenge you as I challenge my heart time and time again. Australia will yet see what God will do with a young man that is totally devoted to himself. And you say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? God will give you the power. Because God is more willing to bless than we are to receive the blessing. Not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth of his son. Did you know that God doesn't deny desire the death of his son? God has taken an oath upon himself, as I live, said the Lord. I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. Turn me, for why will he die? God has made ample provision in the sacrifice of his son to save the whole world. We do not subscribe to those erroneous teachings of limited redemption. We believe the sacrifice of Christ in its amplitude is able to save all men. And it's not the will of God that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And God has not been declared it, but he has proved it in the all-sufficiency of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus. So when we preach the gospel, the Lord help us to do it in faith, in the light of the all-sufficiency of the provision of God in Christ, and the desire of God for the blessing of man's salvation. But finally, when Elijah was taken up for the chariot of fire and the horses of fire, Elijah the young man cried, my father, my father, the chariots of God and the horsemen thereof. When the mantle fell down, he took the mantle and put it on. If you follow through the scriptures and you read about God's mantle men, they are men who knew the power of God in their lives, and we need those men today. When that wicked woman called out Samuel, they said, I see a man with a mantle on him. Samuel was a mantle man of God. Paul was a mantle man from God, and so were the apostles. And Elisha that day became one of God's mantle men. The word in the Acts 1, of course, is he shall be mantled with power. That is the Greek thought in the Greek. He shall be mantled with power when the word of, when the Spirit of God is coming upon you. I asked you, my dear brother, those of you who preach the gospel, do you wear the mantle? I don't mean the Christian clerical thing. I mean the mantle of the power of God. The Lord help me to put it on. It's there for you because it's been promised by God. But finally, I said the life of Elijah and his exodus was symptomatic. His brilliant testimony was seen in evidence of his exodus. And yet he reappeared, as we saw the other night, upon the Mount of Transfiguration. But this, of course, is all fulfilled in the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his resurrection and ascension was symptomatic of his life of service, the one who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And in Psalm 24, I must be brief, we have the psalm that's read on the Lord's Day, the day of the resurrection. And there the psalmist expresses himself and about the Lord in his resurrection. Lift up your heads, O ye gates of heaven, lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. And we believe that that psalm speaks of the Lord's resurrection and ascension. And the command from the throne of God is, lift up your heads, O ye gates, be he lift up, ye everlasting, let the King of glory come in. But I read in the scriptures that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. How did he get through? How did he get through the hordes of the emissaries of the enemy? The very command of God, to the angel. He passed through the hordes of the enemy's emissaries. He passed through the entire intelligence of heaven, the cherubim and the seraphim, angels and archangels. And God is a sitter at my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy foot. I like the way Paul puts it. When in Philippians 2 he speaks of the Lord's great stoop from the throne to the cross, and then his return in that sevenfold stoop. He says he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then he says, wherefore, on account of, in consequence thereto, God hath highly exalted him. And they've given him, as Darby says, that name, or the name that is above every name. The name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess. That Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is now seated. As the hymn writer says, the highest place in heaven is found, is his by sovereign right. Because of his life of devotion to God his Father, from beginning to end, because of his life of service, God hath highly exalted him. And so we thank God that these lessons, the tour, the test, the tour and translation of Elijah, have lessons to you and I. The Lord help us to apply these things. For whatsoever things are written aforetime, says Paul, written for our learning.